Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're so glad that we are able to broadcast on these stations. We're thankful to Lotus Broadcasting for having the stations, and we're thankful for you for tuning in and listening this morning, and I hope that it will be a great blessing in your life. We are all about changing our lives for the glory of God. We're all about changing our world, our society, for God's glory, for His purposes. And we know that may not be a popular message to some, but we believe and are convinced that we're going to proclaim the truth of God's wisdom to the world and to those that are in fellowship with God already. And we are not going to shrink back, and we are going to continue to live by faith. And so here's what we started last week talking about, was the fact that we can live a life of purpose. We can, and there's every reason for us to. And if we're not, wow, what are we doing with our life? And somebody says, well, my life is full of purpose, and it's full of schedules, and it's full of good things. But are they eternal things? Are they going to be things that matter in eternity when we all stand before our God, our Creator, the one who gave us life, and give an accounting of our life to God? What then? Is that something you're ready for? I don't know if any of us are absolutely ready for it, right? But, you know, there's so many people that when I ask them a question, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And they'll say something along the lines of, well, I hope so. Okay? I hope so. Well, that's called wishful hoping. That's called just wishing. And as I've said before, why wish upon a star when you can pray to and be in fellowship with the God who made all the stars? That's the awesome thing about it, is knowing the truth. Because Jesus said the truth is what's going to set you free. It's going to set you free from all of the expectations of the world. Set us free to serve God and to be under that life in Christ that is so wonderful. That's why Paul wrote in his epistle to the Romans, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Hey, don't let them squeeze you into following after them or jumping on the bandwagon or going along with the majority opinion. I don't want to be the majority. I want to be right. And if that's the majority, good. If it's the minority, fine. I'm not concerned about majority or minority. What I'm interested in is truth. What I want you to be interested in is truth. I want you to know the truth so the truth can set you free and continue to set you free from a life of just nothing or nothing that really matters, or a life where it's just, well, I hope so. You see, here's what I found is that everybody wants to go to heaven. I mean, not many people will just say, well, I'm not going. I'm headed straight for hell, and that's just the way it is. I don't know if I've ever had anybody tell me that just flat out. But here's the thing. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but Jesus made it very clear that not everybody's going there. He says in Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, again, many and few are general adjectives, but I think you get the idea, right? Many are entering through that broad road that leads to destruction, that ends to death, that ends to consequence, and the wages of sin, which is death. I'm not interested in that road. I'm not interested in that gate. And I want to try to do everything that I possibly can to persuade you that that's not where you want to go either. I want you to be confident and have assurance, like I and so many people do, that we're not on that broad road that leads to destruction, but that we have entered through that narrow gate. That narrow gate isn't literally a gate. It's Jesus. Jesus is the narrow gate. Jesus is the one that said, no one can come to the Father except through him. Okay? There's no other way. Okay? There's no other way for life except through Christ. He's the narrow gate. And I want to encourage you, if you have not entered that narrow gate, it's time to line up and say, I want to go in. Okay? You can't just do that because you want to. You have to do that the way God wants you to. You're certainly not going to enter it in your own pride, in your own arrogance, in your own righteousness, or your own crazy corrupt motives just to get away from the consequences. Okay? There's got to be a lot more to it. It has to be a humility and a recognition of your sin. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, okay, for they will be comforted. We need to recognize that we've sinned against God. We've sinned against each other. We've done things in our lives that we're not proud of, that we're ashamed of, and we feel terrible about. Well, whether you do or not, unless Christ covers those sins with his blood, unless God doesn't take those into account anymore because you've been forgiven in Christ, then all that's left is just a fearful expectation of God's wrath and judgment against our sin. Hey, that's not what he wants. The Bible tells us that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. Okay, you can't go through that narrow gate thinking that, well, you know, I'm just going to add Christ to my life and then just keep living like I always have. Doesn't work like that. It does not work like that, friends. And shame on anybody that tells you that, or shame on yourself for thinking that. Okay, there's only one name given to us under heaven by which we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. Only Jesus died on the cross for us. Okay? Hey, the thief that was hanging on there, one of the thieves that was hanging on the cross, recognized that. Hey, we deserve to be crucified for what we've done. And so do we. But he said, this man hasn't done anything wrong. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Okay? The thief shows how far God is willing to save people. Okay? You know, the gospel call today is we need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, so we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so you can be sealed with the Spirit, if you would, to have that mark put on our forehead that shows that we're God's people. It's not a literal physical mark. It just shows that we belong to God. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to him. And so praise the Lord that we can live by faith and not shrink back and be destroyed. You know, we started talking about this last week that unfortunately many begin, but they don't finish. Okay, they start off in full assurance of faith, but then because of whatever in life, they turn away from relationship with God. They turn away from fellowship with Jesus Christ. They quit listening to the wisdom that comes from above. Hey, they start following after the things of this world and the philosophies and the things that the world thinks matter and quit delighting in God. Hey, that's a shameful place to be. And I hope you're not there this morning. And I want you to know that if you are, you can be like the prodigal son. You can come to your senses and come back. Well, you don't know what I've done. Well, you're right. I don't, but God does. And God wants you to come back. He wants you to come back in humility and repentance and say, I blew it. I'm sorry. That's the kind of heart that God's looking for. A broken and a contrite heart, oh God, you will not reject or despise. All right? And so if that's where you are, come back. And if you haven't ever started, well, today's the day of salvation. Start doing something about it. Find out how you can enter through that narrow gate. Don't just take it upon somebody's word or this or that or whatever they told you. Find out what the Word of God tells you that you need to do to respond to God's grace. Start reading the book of Acts over and over and over. People ask, what must I do to be saved? And they were told, okay, different answers because different people were in different circumstances. But the bottom line is it's all the same. We need to respond in faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to come to understand that Jesus is the only way and that we need to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ and then walk in newness of life. Simple, easy. It's what Jesus said. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. And so come and follow me, he said. So let's remember that in Hebrews chapter 10, he's writing to those who are in danger of throwing what they had away. Remember in verse 35 of chapter 10. So don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he's promised. You know, some people think that just because they said the name of Jesus or asked Jesus into their heart or came up to the front of the church building and cried a few tears or even when they were, you know, I was baptized. Okay, well, all of those things are nice, but what really matters is that we do it God's way. And some of those things I just described are not the way that God tells us to respond to his grace. Okay, you'll never see anything in the book of Acts about asking Jesus into your heart. Okay? It's not there. And you'll never see anything about coming forward at a church meeting and shedding a few tears or praying a prayer or doing this or that or the other. You will over and over see that people were told to repent or to have faith, to come to believe in Christ. But every single one of those accounts ended up with the person following through in faith and being baptized into Christ. It's a work of God. He's the one that raises us up to walk in newness of life. Somebody asked me the other day if I thought that, in an email, if I thought that baptism was necessary for salvation. And I said, well, in light of all the scriptures that talk about it and everything, who's going to stand up and say it's not? All right? I mean, it's just a response. It's no more important or less important than faith and repentance and confession and living a life of faith that honors God. But it's still a part of responding to God's grace. Jesus is the one that told his apostles to go into all the world and baptize people. And so why would it be unimportant or unessential or unnecessary, right? And so, you know, just something to think about, right? But it's very clear from Scripture how to respond to God's grace. And so he's telling those in Hebrews, listen, don't give up. Don't throw away your confidence. You need to keep persevering. You need to keep on living by faith. You need to keep on growing in grace and knowledge until you're done so that you can receive what has been promised. Not because doing all those things makes you deserve it. No way. You know, if you think your righteousness is good enough to earn you eternal life or earn you heaven, well, Isaiah said it's just like filthy rags, okay? And those aren't the kind that are in mechanic shops with oil and everything else over them. I think you get the point. But here's the point, is that we need to persevere because He goes on to say, "My righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." In other words, the person who quits having faith, the one who quits walking by faith in the power of God. And so Paul reminds them, hey, we're not those of those who shrink back and destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. Hey, let's take a minute and listen to our song for this morning. This is a song by a group called Selah, and it's called Press On. I like that. We need to keep pressing on. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how rough it gets, no matter how good it is, that we just continue to press on. I watched the movie Facing the Giants again the other night, and I was reminded of how he encouraged his football team by saying, look, we're gonna praise God when we win, and we're going to praise God when we lose. We're going to praise God when everything's going right and good, and we're going to praise him when everything seems to be falling apart and nothing seems to be going the way that we think it should. We're going to keep pressing on, and we're going to give it our best, because God deserves our best, doesn't he? And anything less than that is like, wow. And boy, I'll be the first to tell you, there's times in my life that I say, come on, John, you're not giving your best. You're not giving your best for God. And yet that's what I want to strive for. And when I'm not, I want to recognize it. I want you to recognize it and say, hey, I need to live a life worthy of the calling I've received. I need to live a life that honors God. And that means pressing on through whatever happens. So let's listen to our first song this morning. right, we're back this morning. What a great song. I sure like to listen to that. And it encourages me in my life, and I hope it encourages you in your life. So let's press on to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Because what the writer to these Hebrews, and ultimately to all of us in God's church, is writing to them about is this faith that we are those who have faith and are saved. And so now what he's going to do is talk about that life of faith. He's gonna spend just a little bit of time kind of describing for us what faith is. And then he's going to give example after example after example after example after example of those under the old covenant, and even before the old covenant was given. He's going to give examples, real historical accounts of men and women, people who existed previously to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to give us examples of those who, even before Jesus came, even before the Christ, the Messiah of all of the world came, even before the gospel began to be proclaimed, that there was people who lived by faith. And how much more then, now that Christ has come, now that the gospel is going into all the world, how much more then should we live by faith and not shrink back? They live by faith. They continued to the end, even though the promises that they were looking forward to were way, way far off. They didn't know how far off. Just like, hey, we don't know exactly when all of God's promises to us are going to be fulfilled. We may die today. We don't know that. We may live for decades and decades after this. If you're a lot younger, you may live for another 80, 90 years even. All right? We don't know. And we don't know what kind of advances are going to happen where we might even live longer. But ultimately, no one has immortality except, again, through Jesus Christ. And friends, eternity is not something that you want to miss out on, because the only other option is death and destruction and consequence and the wrath of God. And none of us want that, unless you're just not in your right mind. And so here's the thing. Here's what faith is. Not a full definition, not in every aspect of it, but here's what it boils down to in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, lots of other translations maybe use different words, assurance, substance, a lot of different things, but it all boils down to this. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Confidence is usually about something we know, right? And it's usually associated with something we know because it's already happened, okay? We have confidence in it because we can see it. We can hold it. We can hear it. We can use all of our physical senses to say, hey, I'm confident because there it is. All right. If I called you up on your cell phone and said, hey, there's a brand new, I don't know, whatever you want, a brand new F-150 or a brand new Lamborghini or whatever it might be, a new this or a new that. If I called you up and said, hey, there's a brand new this sitting out in your driveway right now that I got for you and left for you there as a gift. And you'd be like, yeah, right. Sure there is. Uh-huh. You probably wouldn't believe me, would you? Okay? Unless you really thought that I could do that, that I had the means, the financial means and everything else to pull that off. Now, if you thought that maybe, well, those of you that know me know that I couldn't do that, but those of you that don't know me, well, maybe, you know, hey, he said, and so, well, maybe I'll give him a shot, and I'll go out in my driveway to look, okay? If at that point you would be like, well, I don't know, it's not confident, is it? It's, I'm kind of unsure, and I don't know. But if you walked out your front door and boom, there in your driveway is that car or truck or whatever it was that I promised you, well, then you'd be confident, wouldn't you? You'd be like, whoa, there it is, I can see it, and now it's not a hope anymore because it's right there. Okay, this is what faith is all about. It's not confidence in what we can absolutely see and base on just because of our physical senses. In other words, it says that faith is the confidence in what we hope for. Okay? Hope for. Hope means we don't have it yet. Just like if you weren't sure whether I could pull that car thing off or not, you may be hoping that I could, but you're not really sure whether or not, because it hasn't happened yet from your point of view. And yet this is what we're talking about biblically, that faith is not confidence in what we already have. It's confidence in what we hope for. Okay? We do have confidence in what we've already experienced. I have tasted, and I know the Lord is good. I know that God has taken away my guilt and shame. I know God has blessed me in my life in so many ways. I know that He's proved Himself to me over and over, and I hope He's proved it to you too. Okay? And yet there are still things that I hope for that I am just as confident as if they were real. And why is that? Because faith goes beyond just the confidence of physical things. It's a trust. It's an absolute assured confidence and a belief that God can do it. You know, when you are confident, like in my illustration, you know, those of you that know me, you have no confidence because you know. But those of you didn't, well, maybe he could. Well, now, if you had a good friend that you knew had lots of resources and money and everything else that could pull it off, well, you know, then you'd believe him. Well, that's what our faith is. It's a confidence in what we hope for. It's based more on just than physical thing. It's not a blind leap. It's not a just jumping off a cliff in the dark. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Friends, we're out of time already. I can't believe it. So we're going to have to continue this next week. Please come and visit us at the Church of Las Vegas, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evening at 6 and Wednesday evening at 7. You can find out more about us on thechurchatlasvegas.com. Tune in next week. We're going to continue this, Lord willing. Until then, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.